This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's hour two of the nation. Hope you're having a nice little sports Tuesday in your life. But we're rocking with you over the next 4 hours. Here's Zach Wolchuk with the NFL news of the day. Take it away, Wolchuk.
Thank you very much. We got some moves regarding our Dallas Cowboys, and they got a new long snapper, guys. We got a new long snapper in here. As McQuaid brought us.
We got him.
We signed him. This is the big news.
We got him, boys.
Long snapper, Trent Sieg. And I hope I'm saying that right. It's S-I-E-G. All right, so we love you. You're now a Dallas Cowboy. One-year deal worth $1.08 million. And our guy got himself $152,000 signing bonus. All right, so this is a good game to play. How well does Brian know his long snappers?
I don't. That's what I'm saying.
No, you know him. You know him. Channel.
No, I don't know the long snapper. So it's
not Jacksonville. It's not Jacksonville. The picture I'm seeing is of an AFC team, though.
Not with the Titans?
Not the Titans. It's a team you actually did work for, though, I believe. At least interviewed.
Oh, the Raiders?
The Raiders.
I think he interned with them. 12 years into his career, he got an internship.
Is that how that went?
It was funny. It was like 2 weeks.
I don't know, Brian. I think you could. I'd like to try you out. Mr. Davis, I have a wife and a... you can live next door at the hotel. We'll give you $2,000. You'll be fine. You know what's so funny?
Is that a week or a month?
That was a month.
Oh, my goodness, Al.
You know, all right, let me tell you this. You know what's sad?
What?
If I didn't have the wife or the kid, I'd have probably done it.
Yeah, why not? Stay in the hotel, work your way up.
I know, that's what I'm saying. You know, I was like, I went from like being like, I felt like I had some good success in the league. But he really wanted me. He's like, he wanted to try me out. And I honestly believe if I didn't have Bennett and my wife at the time, if I didn't have them, I would have taken his offer. And I would have said, sure, I'll live in the hotel. They feed you at the facility.
Hey.
So, I mean, it would have been just kind of like...
What else do you need? Yeah.
Well, it's hard to find. They don't feed everyone at these facilities,
No, that's what I'm saying. They feed you at the facility. I literally could have walked. The hotel was like you could walk 20 yards, and you were that close to the facility.
Not a bad deal.
So it wasn't a bad deal at all. So,
the wife wants income.
I can't believe you turned my offer down. I can't. You're such an idiot.
You're an idiot, Brian. The Cowboys also are re-signing Tack McKinley, who they brought in and was a practice squad guy
last year.
Yeah, he was elevated one game, but technically didn't have a single snap. And a lot of people probably remember Tack as a first-round pick of the Falcons back in 2017. But he does have familiarity with Dan Quinn, and the Cowboys saw enough to say, hey, we'll run it back with you for another year. Get a full offseason with us. Why not?
Very talented and strong guy. You know, I like that. I think you're adding talent to your defensive line, and I think there's plenty of play still left in him.
Well, see, and this is also, too, what we talked about yesterday. Offense, defensive linemen, you know, veteran guys playing in preseason games. You're trying to evaluate other young guys. Mm-hmm. You don't want to completely fall apart and have no pass rush. So, yeah, Tack McKinley probably a guy that's going to see a lot of action late in these preseason games.
All right, we got the Jets making moves. So, earlier, Gavin
reported.
Things
are taking off for him?
Yeah, they signed Mecole Hardman. Things are taking off, Brian, to a one-year deal that could be up to $6.5 million in incentives. Then they just decided to trade Elijah Moore, who we also were talking about.
We liked Elijah Moore, yeah.
So the Browns are out there wide receiver hunting. There were some rumors that they were thinking about DeAndre Hopkins, and they decided, no, we're out on Hopkins. They were eyeing Jerry Jeudy out of Denver. I know Bobby's talked about both those Denver receivers are available. I don't think they're getting back the kind of compensation that they want in talks for Jeudy and for Sutton. So I don't think that those receivers are going to get moved as of right now. But the Browns are trading for Jets receiver Elijah Moore. They're giving up pick number 42 and 74. So a second and a third round pick to go and get Elijah Moore there. He's now a Cleveland Brown.
Wow.
Very interesting.
That would be more than what you're probably giving up to go get Hop, right?
Yeah. I guess Denver wanted a first to give up.
Yeah,
Judy.
Denver wanted a first.
But receiver moves are aplenty right now, and the Cowboys are looking even better after this for going to get Brandon Cooks.
Well, there was a time when they felt like they were looking bad because they only took a five for.
Oh yeah, a year makes.
Yeah, a year of perception. I guess.
No question about that. Okay, we had C.J. Stroud's pro day today. And that's the Ohio State
quarterback. How'd Marvin Harrison look catching the ball?
I think Marvin Harrison was looking great. So Marvin Harrison Jr. was out there. He's going to come out for the draft next year. So he's going to be the number one target at Ohio State this year after playing behind some other first-round caliber receivers. But he was the recipient of passes at the pro day. So scouts out there got an early look at Marvin Harrison Jr. He could be, some are saying a top five pick in next year's draft.
I've been there evaluating him is what I'd have been.
Special player, man. But C.J. Stroud had a massive Carolina Panthers contingent there watching
14?
Him. According to Albert Breer. Yeah, they had 14, including their owner, David. Their owners, David and Nicole Tepper. The GM, Scott Fitterer, was there. Frank Reich was there. The assistant GM was there. The VP was there. You had the offensive coordinator there. And they had Josh McCown, Jim Caldwell. I mean, it was literally their entire offensive staff came out to watch C.J. Stroud.
Okay, who else do we look at? We got Smith and Jigba that we had to look at, the wide, and then those offensive linemen, right?
And then the offensive linemen, Paris Johnson, Jones, the right tackle.
Right,
and
the center.
Got a center as well.
Right,
that has the capability to be a day two pick. So there's a lot of good talent there.
Yeah, if you take all your offensive coaches.
Stover,
to the
tight end as well.
Oh, no, he's coming back.
He went back?
He went back.
Come on. Yeah, why? Yeah, wasted back. Time watching him. Are you kidding me?
We both did.
Come on, back, Stover. What the bleep? You're 1 foot in, you're 1 foot out. What are we supposed to do?
With this many quarterbacks on the board with the number one pick, this will drive you crazy over the next 6 weeks.
All right. So I'm glad that you said this. People don't know what the bleep's really going on with the quarterbacks. Yeah. There's one former Carolina Panther, linebacker Thomas Davis. He was making the rounds now. I think he was jumping on with the NFL Network, talking with our guy Daniel Jeremiah. Daniel Jeremiah is saying he thinks Bryce Young's going to go number one. Thomas Davis disagrees. Here's the back and forth, courtesy of NFL Total Access.
I think he'll be a great fit in this organization. You look at Bryce Young, you look at his resume. The kid was a Heisman Trophy winner last year for a reason. And then when you put guys around him like Alabama has, he played in the SEC, the highest level of competition in football, in college football. I just think that he's going to come in and he would fit well in Carolina if they were going to draft him. But like you said, DJ, I don't think that he's going to be their pick. I think it's going to be a very, very surprising pick in Carolina.
Oh,
but, I mean, I will say this. If this pick happens, that who I think that they are in love with, I'm not a fan of it.
Okay, you can't do that. Spill the beans here.
I just know that there are a couple of guys upstairs that are enamored by the physical ability of Anthony Richardson. I'll just say.
Wow. One overall.
That will have some fun.
Last time they took a quarterback one overall, it was Cam. So, like, you know, right?
I mean, he's not Cam Newton. He's not Cam Newton. We watched this kid play a lot, me being an SEC guy. He has all the physical characteristics of being a really good quarterback in the NFL, but I don't think that he's going to be that great player that the Carolina Panthers need to take them to the next level. When you look at Bryce Young, what he brings to the table, he's a proven winner. When you look at C.J. Stroud, what he brings to the table, this kid has proven he can win football games. Anthony Richardson, on the other hand, Will Levis, on the other hand, those guys have been in programs that could potentially be good, but they just haven't been. And the reason, to me, has been the quarterback position.
Well, let me tell you why I think it makes sense if that's what Carolina wants to do. We're chasing around all these quarterbacks looking for guys that can carry incomplete teams to the promised land. There's two of them. Okay. We draft 10 new quarterbacks every year. You found two in the last 10 years. Okay. So instead of doing that and ending up with a guy who probably is going to fail, how about you get a guy who can run his ass off and can throw a little bit and another running back and a good offensive line? That's offense. That's a quarterback. You know, over the last 30 years, we've become much more biased towards the pure passer, maybe the last 40 years. But there's no reason that the best way to attack right now is not with a running quarterback who can throw it pretty good.
Well, Anthony Richardson can run. Yeah. He definitely
he can. He can.
And when they went up to make this move, I was thinking they're going up to get Anthony Richardson. There was just Vegas kind of told on themselves early in this process with the Anthony Richardson odds to be number one overall. And then they backtracked off of it once it became official that Carolina moved up. And they were like, oh, it's C.J. Stroud. I think they were just trying to bait the public, get some more money out there on C.J. Stroud. I really do think the Panthers might go for Anthony Richardson. But it's interesting. Today they're getting a good look at C.J. Stroud. And to clarify, because I'm getting a lot of texts and shout out to the Tolos on this, when it comes to the trade for Elijah Moore, they're giving up number 42, but they're getting back pick number 74 in the trade. So it's number 40. Basically, it's a second for Elijah Moore, essentially, yeah. And then a pick swap. So not crazy compensation.
There must be years left on that rookie deal.
Yeah, I mean, he's still on a rookie salary, so it's not like he's worth a ton of money right now. But interesting, somebody that would be in the know, though, when it comes to the Carolina Panthers, one of their all-time greats, Thomas Davis. And, hey, he thinks they're going for Anthony Richardson. Brian, would you absolutely hate that?
I don't have him. I have him as my fourth quarterback. And I feel like, though, to me, what Gavin's talking about, if you can find a quarterback that does have toughness, that does have size, that has the ability to run, that can be mobile in the pocket, can move around, man, I mean, there's some games where he is absolutely brilliant. And then there's other games where he can't even throw for 100 yards. And I don't know if I would put if I was Scott Federer, and I'm knowing that this is probably my last year if we don't win. You know, there's going to be a new general manager in here. I don't know if I wanted to stake my reputation or my job on somebody that lacks traits.
Right.
Those many traits. I would be more the safest pick in this thing would be to take Bryce Young.
I agree.
That'd be the safest thing to do. But the problem is Bryce Young is 5'10".
Right.
He is the proven winner. He's the guy that is the calmest. And when you watch him play, his demeanor, how smart he is, all those things. He checks all the boxes. He's just not 6'3". That's the only thing that he doesn't have.
Russell Wilson underwent right knee surgery. He's supposed to be fine for OTAs, according to Ian Rappaport. And Lamar Jackson's representatives are telling teams he is done with the Baltimore Ravens. He wants out of there, according to Pro Football Talk. And you know what? The way that this negotiation's gone, I don't really blame Lamar for having some bad feelings towards the Baltimore Ravens organization.
He's saying now he doesn't even need a fully guaranteed contract, just some multi-year in the neighborhood of $200 million. It's fascinating that more offers aren't coming in, and maybe he's going to end up playing on that one-year tag of $32 million for the Ravens. That's just not good for anybody. Maybe he sits out.
For everything that we just said, for all those teams that are up there needing quarterbacks, would you trade the one, the two, the three? Would you trade
for Russell?
For Lamar Jackson.
Ooh.
What you know about him, as opposed to the unknown of these quarterbacks that we're all running around the country bringing 14 guys to go look at.
Yeah, if I'm a team that really needs a quarterback right now, I'd rather go ahead and maintain my draft capital and try and get into this thing for next year with Caleb Williams.
You might just be able to move him for that one pick.
You know, trade back.
And maybe you just do a first rounder this year and it's fine. You can get Lamar Jackson. I'd be okay with that.
I think the Ravens would sell. I think the Ravens would sell short. I mean, sell, you know, wouldn't hold you up. I think the Ravens, if you told the Ravens you could have picks one, two, or three, all these quarterback needy teams for my guy, I think the Ravens would do that.
I think they would, too. They're trying to move on. We also have the Commanders sale update. You got a potential new buyer for the Commanders.
It's Canada.
It's a billionaire from Canada who's got a ridiculous last name. It looks Greek, but I could be very wrong. Steve?
Papadopoulos?
Yes.
Mr. Papadopoulos, your order's ready.
Papadopoulos or something. It's very strange, and I don't
want to... Mr. Papa Giorgio?
Papa Giorgio. Yep, we're just going to call him Steve Apo. and I don't want to say that again, but he's trying to get back into this thing.
He's a Canadian freak.
He is a Canadian freak. Now, I don't think he's going to be able to outbid Josh Harris, personally.
I mean, how much money could you have being from Canada?
I don't know. I think he's only got $5 billion is what Brian was doing some research on this.
No. Josh Harris is worth about $7.2 billion.
Right, so he's worth a couple billion extra.
So he needs people to come with him.
So Josh Harris is trying to recruit him to come on over?
No. Our
These guys don't have any money. Luke.
Yeah, they're broke.
Papadopoulos is...
Let's rent them spoons. We've got to put people together to buy something? Come on. What kind of billionaire business is that, baby?
Papadopoulos is... He's got the money. It's Harris's
group. So Harris is like, I need your help. Over here, yeah. Canadian billionaire.
No. They're separate deals.
Now they're separate?
Yeah, they're separate deals.
Well, we got a new Canadian guy who might be trying to buy the Commanders. And I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing, but we'll find out if that sale goes through. All right, we got to keep a close eye. We only play those schmucks twice a year. Finally, NFL news of the day, Tom Brady and the epic roast that's supposed to happen on Netflix, the comedy roast. It's not going to be Brady doing comedy, okay? This is going to be a bunch of comedians that essentially make fun of Tom Brady. However, he's put out one rule. This is something you cannot...
Nothing about his family.
Nothing on the family.
Nothing on
the family. They said Tom's fine being the butt of the jokes. Say whatever you want about him, but not about his family. It's the one rule that's non-negotiable when it comes to Brady and the comedy roast.
Okay, which comedian on this roast is
right?
Is going to not do that?
Many jujitsu and Giselle Bundchen jokes you can crack?
You have to do Giselle jokes. Come on, Tom.
Yeah, she's no longer in the family.
Yeah,
I'd say that's fair game.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
That's a loophole.
Hello.
We just won't talk about the kids, but we can talk about ex-wife.
Hopefully it'll be shocking and he'll get mad and, I don't know, maybe he'll get hammered and stumble all over the place like the Super Bowl celebration. We can only hope. Thank you, Wolchuk.
Hey, wasn't she the one talking first anyway?
Yes.
She was the one putting all of the business out there. He's playing a nice guy.
She's talking today as well.
She's still talking.
Have some Giselle news coming up a little bit later on. She did a tell-all in Vanity Fair.
What about that jujitsu guy?
Right?
Yeah. Don't be talking about your ex-boyfriend when you're with me.
I think she's with some billionaire guy like my age now.
Who?
Giselle.
Oh, no, not yet.
Yeah.
She's getting them years of Tom Brady out of her system right now.
No, she might be doing the jujitsu, but I think there's a billionaire guy that she's kind of hanging out with now.
From Brady to a billionaire, huh?
Yeah.
Unreal.
Ohtani's pregame speech, what inspired them to take down the USA over there in Japan's clubhouse? It's coming up next in the G-Bag Nation.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, what inspired Japan to beat USA? It was Shohei Ohtani with a pregame speech. We'll play the cut here for you, and then we'll get you the translation. Here's Shohei talking to his teammates before the big one.
ファーストにゴールドシュミットがいたりとか、センター見たらマイク・トラウトがいるし、外野にムーキー・ベッツがいたりとか、まあ野球やってれば誰しもがこう聞いたことあるような選手たちがやっぱりいると思うんですけど、今日一日だけはやっぱ憧れてしまったらね、やっぱ超えられないんで、僕らは今日超えるために、やっぱトップになるために来たんで、今日一日だけは、彼らへの憧れを捨てて勝つことだけ考えていきましょう。最後!
Didn't sound like much to the end, but that last part right there, let's stop admiring them. If you admire them, you can't surpass them. We came here to surpass them, to reach the top. For one day, let's throw away our admiration for them and just think about winning. I didn't know that would be a big of a problem, but apparently Shohei understands that better than anybody, and they were able to do exactly that. I don't know what separates the two, you know, baseball nations, to be honest. Seems like they got a lot of great players over there, and the most of them that come over are finding a tremendous amount of success, and now Shohei might be the absolute best player in the world. So I think USA Baseball needs to check this out and take stock on what it means to the rest of the world to beat us, and now not make it as easy to accomplish that. That'd be my takeaway from that.
Yeah, you had the best pitchers for Japan all in the tournament, right? In the U.S., that was probably where the U.S. team was lacking. You didn't have their best arms pitching. Yeah. I mean, the lineup was outstanding with Mookie Betts and Mike Trout. And, you know, McNeil was a guy who was the batting champion last year. Yeah, Schwarber with the Schwarber bomb last night. I mean, the lineup top to bottom was incredible.
Yeah.
But I think where they lost in the championship was the pitching. And it's not like, hey, everybody was getting shelled out there, but you could see the depth that Japan had when you're able to put in Yu Darvish in the eighth and then Shohei Ohtani in the ninth. It was pretty remarkable watching them.
And it's a weird deal for people to buy into because we haven't had enough history yet. But hopefully last night was like the final brick in a wall of history being made that now we can say, hey, let's have some pride in trying to win this. I mean, if that happens to USA basketball, it's a catastrophe and everybody's talking about it.
That's a great point.
I want a little bit more competitiveness out of everybody involved. And maybe MLB is the one that needs to come along most for it. And I don't know how you make it right for them. Do you do insurance policies if your Cy Young candidate gets hurt?
Yeah, well, how do you, what insurance policy did the Astros have? They lost Altuve.
See, yeah. They need a little compensation.
So what do you get to carry like two extra guys during the year? Do you let the rosters expand if you provide?
I would think so.
If you provide a pitcher or whatever, you get to have two extra roster spots for the first 2 months of the season.
That money doesn't count against luxury tax threshold. You know, yeah. Altuve's salary doesn't count against luxury tax threshold. You know, if you're going to be out for the year, I'm sure he's only going to miss like 6 weeks or something like that. But, you know, there is a cost to this. And I know Mark Cuban has talked about it. You have to respect, number one, that playing for a country is likely going to be a person's most important thing in their sports life. Even you throw out the millions of dollars and, you know, some countries pay a good amount of money. You have to respect that, but it doesn't mean that you can't also ask for compensation or try to find something that works for the main employer as well. Because the main employer is so obsessed over the injury risk, they're holding players out of games healthy. You know, the load management is everywhere. So I don't think you can just expect the owners to be okay with it. Let's just get aggressive about finding a good solution. Rangers are now 1 week away from opening day. 1 week and 1 day, that is. 8 days. Baseball is really back as a premium sports experience here in DFW. I know we're all excited about it. They're hosting the White Sox in surprise today. They'll be at the Globe for a couple spring training games Monday and Tuesday.
Ooh, you can get out there and watch that.
I believe against Kansas City. And then opening day at the ballpark, the doors are going to open at 10 a.m. or the parking lots will open at 10 a.m. The gates will open at noon, according to the Rangers. Josh Jung, by the way, 342 in spring training. You want something else to get excited about? Josh Jung looked a little nervy and extra energy wide when we were there, but apparently he must have settled into a groove.
Yeah, after we left, he kind of found his rhythm hitting, because there were a lot of times at the plate where it was some bad swings, bad weak pop-ups, stuff like it wasn't, you know, weak grounders.
But he was flexing the defense, right?
No, he was absolutely.
He sure was. He was flexing the leather there out there in surprise. So it's great that it's now balanced out and he's feeling well. And inside the box and hitting the ball well. So we'll see if that translates. The Rangers are going to need him. We talked last week, Brian, about, you know, who is a must-have guy in this Rangers team. Everybody's going like Jacob deGrom. The season's going to kind of, you know, live and die by his health. I hear you. But they're desperate to have Josh Jung be the kind of player that they drafted and were hoping that he would be at third base.
It's about time. When was our last star? It was like, hey, you drafted a guy, and now he's a freaking animal.
Yeah.
Ian Kinsler?
Probably Ian and Elvis, yeah.
Good Lord. Okay, so that's fun to see Josh Jung performing the way he is. And if he's a solution at third base for the whole year, that's massive success and a huge step in the direction of being a playoff team. I'm so excited to be a fan of baseball again, says the 817. I hear you, man. It's great to have him heading in the right direction. Okay, it appears there are more fans of women's basketball than ever, okay? I don't know if you find yourself continuing to watch these games at night on the off nights of the men, but I have been. And I don't think it's just because Abby's so into girls basketball and I'm trying to see a pathway and everything for her and you know, try to get what the standard's going
to
be.
How can we get you to be a WNBA star?
I don't think that's going to happen. She's just not going to weigh enough. But, you know, I'm wondering, are there some of these bubble teams that maybe she could fit in with or something like that? But anyway, an average of 272,000 people tuned in to watch the first round of the women's tournament over the weekend. ESPN announced that. That's a huge number. It is up 27% from last year. How? Why?
I think you got villains.
You got real villains?
I think you got villains.
Well, you do have some cuties. I'm not going to lie. No, you got some cuties, and maybe some of them are villains as well.
That whole thing the other day with Louisville and Texas. That discussion afterwards, that Texas got just run on their own home floor. You got really kind of these rivalries with Connecticut and Tennessee, the coaches and stuff. It, you know, my gal down there at, you know, Kim Mulkey down there at LSU and stuff. I mean, she irritates people.
Yeah.
I think you got these kind of larger than life characters that are showing up in women's basketball and people are kind of digging it.
I think so. It's definitely building momentum. I think the women's game has grown to be so much more creative. And maybe I'm off on this. Tell me if I'm an idiot. But, you know, it kind of like the men's game where for the first couple decades it was stiff. And now I think you're getting so many good players that you're seeing more creativity out there. Some great passing, some incredible finishing.
You see better fundamentals with women's basketball than you do with the men. I'm sitting there watching these tournament games, and that, you know, like whoever they're like somebody's like any team, pick a team that you had in your bracket that you're trying to get a victory, and you watch them miss the last like their last six shots.
Yeah,
and you're like, well, just what are you doing? And then you watch the ladies game; they move it around, and then they get a shot off, and it's like, well, why can't the men do this? Why is it just run it down the floor and take some bad shot?
Yeah,
you know,
it gets stagnant.
You see that in college
basketball.
Meanwhile,
you got some great ball movement over here with the ladies.
I don't know if that gets ratings. I don't know if fundamentals gets ratings, Brian.
No,
well, but the ladies are. You just said it. The ladies are. They're improving. To me, like I said, I'm watching a little bit of the Miami Indiana game the other day.
Right.
You know, and I'm sitting there like
good drama.
Yeah, it was really good drama. I mean, shot for shot for shot. The last few, I watched the Mavs miss 9 damn shots in a row the other day, you know, in the game. I'm like, okay.
8-3-2, the way Gavin said cuties about the basketball girls just made me really uncomfortable. They're women, okay? They're 18 plus, all right? Maybe some of them do like an older gentleman themselves, All right.
Oh.
A successful older gentleman.
Hello.
Okay.
First of all, you don't joke around with women.
That was That's my bad.
Yesterday was National Shout Sugar Daddy Day, right?
I'd have been mad as hell if I was
Boca Raton, Florida.
Yeah. Yeah.
They love women's basketball down there.
Oh, yeah.
You guys look great.
You guys need a sponsorship or anything? You need some new shoes, tape?
We love you.
Sports bra?
I'd have been living with Louisville, too, if I was UT. That girl who's just an absolute smoke. Dropping 30 on me, talking crap the whole time.
She talked crap
in her trailer park accent
the whole game.
Oh, we're gonna fight in that line.
Oh,
yeah, that's a guarantee. No, leading the pack was Tennessee's win over St. Louis, though, which attracted 639,000 viewers. UConn's dub over Vermont hit 636,000 viewers. So yeah, you know, more people than ever by a significant margin are kind of jumping into that women's college basketball. Okay, and a modern-day Moby Dick has sunk a 44-foot boat. Okay.
Captain Ahab, huh?
No, it's not a Lisa McCaffrey sighting here in the G-Bag Nation. We're talking whales.
You know what, dude? Just don't be a D.
Four members of a sailing crew.
She did call us Ds, didn't she?
She did.
Yeah, she did.
To our face.
Yeah, well,
I admire her for that.
Yeah,
me too.
Yeah, she really came after us. That's a firecracker right there.
She said it twice. Well, you were being very nice, and then you're like, okay, I've had enough of this. And then you kind of got her started again.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was my whole deal. That was my bit the whole time. I was trying to apologize, but also troll her.
She didn't accept the apology at first, so Gavin had to make sure she really wanted to apologize at the end.
Well, yeah, then you're – well, come on. So I mean, good. You played soccer, right? Come on. I mean, you know you would have rather played some of these teams without having their best player. You know, you're not wishing for injury. And she's like, no, stop being a D.
Yeah. No, it was well played by her. I enjoyed that interview.
The whole thing was fantastic.
Four members of a sailing crew have survived a 10-hour ordeal at sea after a giant whale sank their boat in the Pacific Ocean. They were in the midst of a three-week sailing trip from the Galapagos Islands to French Polynesia, 3,500-mile journey.
Cross.
These people are crazy out here in these tiny boats.
Yeah.
Rick Rodriguez says he and his cohorts were making pizza when they heard a loud noise.
Oh,
the
no.
second pizza had just come out of the oven. I was dipping a slice into some ranch. The back half of the boat lifted violently.
I like how he says that.
That's why his boat got hit. Because he was doing just that.
I like how he said that, bro. Is this a dude, bro?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, man, I was dipping my piece with some ranch, man. Well, right there, man. Right there in my face, bro.
Starboard side just goes all up violently.
I put my doobie down, dude.
Love, counsel.
After realizing the 40-foot vessel was destined to sink, the foursome piled into a lifeboat abandoned ship.
And they grabbed the pizza.
Yeah. Is that right?
Get better. Ranch, man.
Some bottle of water. Spent the next 10 hours trying to reach someone. Rodriguez finally heard back from an unlikely rescuer, the Rolling Stones, not the band, but a boat owned by Jeff Stone. He picked up the crew. They're now on their way back to land. And according to French Polynesian officials, I feel very lucky and grateful that we were rescued. We were in the right place at the right time. What would be scarier, getting attacked by a whale or sitting in a tiny lifeboat for 10 hours knowing an angry whale is nearby?
I mean, both are pretty equally terrifying.
Yeah, I couldn't even make up my mind which one I would want to do.
Same thing.
I'll tell you the people that I admire, and these are the guys and gals from your neck of the woods.
Yeah.
Those people that get...
What is that supposed to mean?
He's up from the Pacific Northwest.
Fair enough, yeah.
Those people...
The hippies?
They get in those kayaks.
Yeah, man.
Oh, yeah.
They get in those kayaks around the killer whales.
Oh, yeah.
The killer whales pop up, and these guys and gals are just kind of like,
here's Tillicum.
It's like, here comes Tillicum, you know, right next to me as I'm in a kayak.
Yeah.
I'm like, no thanks.
Although we've never heard of a killer whale attack in the wild.
You never saw the movie Orca?
I did, and that's what they told us.
The orca jumped. Richard Harris was done.
They could mistake you for a seal, though. You know?
Yeah, I would not be comfortable. That's a good point.
Yeah,
a wetsuit,
Yeah, those orcas are pretty tough. I've had a near-death experience in a kayak, but not next to an orca. A whole nother ball of wax there.
Oh, man, that'd be freaky.
Big Board Report. Two more mock drafts have hit the web, and it's coming up next in the G-Bag Nation.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Back Nation here on The Fan. Time now for another NFL Draft Big Board Report. Coming up at 4, ESPN NBA reporter Kendra Andrews Mavs Warriors on ESPN tonight. She covers the Warriors, so she's going to have lots of insights on what to expect. We start here with a mock draft from The Athletic. And at 26, the Cowboys had their choice of Darnell Washington, tight end, Georgia. Daywan Jones, offensive tackle, Ohio State. Osiris Torrance, guard, Florida. Number of interesting players on the board here. They elect to go with, in The Athletic's mock draft, Bijan Robinson, Texas. They'd be thrilled if he falls to them at 26. He's the type of elite talent they'd probably select if they had a top 15 pick. With Zeke released and Pollard franchise tag, running back is one of Dallas' biggest needs. They're expected to pick one by round four, but none will make the immediate impact that Robinson would be in the running and passing game. Cowboys offense lacked playmakers. That would no longer be a problem. Could you get Robinson and Pollard on the field together? You think that's something you'd... Because I want all five of those guys.
If you're a creative offensive mind, you absolutely could.
Yeah, because Robinson is really good at catching the football. I mean, you could split him out. There's times where you can watch him in those games where they flex him all the way, you know, outside the numbers, running routes and stuff like that, throwing vertical routes to him, and he's just an outstanding player. I think there's a lot of folks that would love to have him, and then there's a lot of folks that hope that he's gone. I think controversial pick.
That'll polarize the football room real quick.
I think there's a lot of fans that would absolutely love to have the player that's very familiar with the player, have seen him play before, and then there's others that are just like, please be gone, so we don't have to deal with this.
Also on the board, do we need to get more familiar with the defensive tackle from Clemson, Brian? Is it Bressy? Brian Bressy?
Breesy.
Yeah.
6'6", 298.
He's sliding a little bit, and he was a guy that was. That's one of those ones that I wouldn't be totally fired up about.
I wouldn't take him.
Had a kidney infection, had an injury in 21. His college production really suffered.
Yeah, people will tell you if you watch the North Carolina game this year that he looked really a lot better than any other game. And I'm just kind of like, I've kind of got a vision of what the player is. He's kind of a boxy, kind of a square guy that, you know, sometimes you see it flashes and other times it's like he gets blocked like 2-3 series in a row and you're like, man, I wasn't totally fired up for him.
Yeah, that'd be like a Taco-esque pick for me because I just didn't see. There's times where he disappears when you watch him.
Watch him get picked by the Cowboys and we're going to have to justify why they took him.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the Cowboys deserve the benefit of the doubt, don't they?
Absolutely.
If they do something we don't agree with.
No, they absolutely do. And you know, that I'd be interested though with when you just said that if they drafted the running back, would you give them the benefit of the doubt?
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't give them the benefit of the doubt on that. No, I don't think they've made.
See, that's what I'm saying. I think there's half of Cowboy Nation would love to have the player, and the other half is like, why would you want to take a running back at 26 when you could take a tight end or if I would rather take Bijan Robinson than the defensive tackle.
Mozzie.
Breesy. Yeah.
I think the last time the Cowboys made the right decision at running back, it was drafting Tony Pollard. It was drafting DeMarco Murray. Other than that, I can't think of the right running back decisions they've made. You know, bringing in Darren McFadden was nice. I think in 2015, that wasn't a bad move. Trusting Joseph Randall was a disaster. Playing Rod Smith made no sense. I think they have a blind spot at running back and they excel at other parts, you know, including finding wide receivers and offensive linemen, and all teams have their weak spots, but I don't think there's anything weaker than the way that apparently the people that are winning out over there are winning out on running back, because as you've told us, it's not a consensus, but the people that understand the positional value aren't an important decision-making position tonight.
My 50-50 thought was about Cowboy fans.
Oh,
it wasn't about Jerry and Steven over there. It was about
you have said some people over there want to get out of the running back business.
Yeah. It's as far as paying the running back.
Yeah.
Paying the running back.
Okay. So y'all wouldn't draft Adrian Peterson in the first round, says the 469. No, he was hurt a lot. There's no, it doesn't exist. The runner has never existed that should be taken in the first round. Okay, that's the way I feel about it. Another guy asked me earlier, what would you pay for prime Marshall Faulk dropping onto this Cowboys team? And I think the number's probably around $7 or $8 million bucks. You know, I'm willing to compensate players for good production at running back. The problem is there's just so many league minimum guys that give you similar production, and I need to spend my premium assets at places where the top guys, you see true separation from average, because I can't get those guys for $800,000 in free agency. I can't get a guy to rush the passer or be a beast mode Wookiee tight end. I can't get a guy to cover for $800,000. I can get a guy to run the damn ball for 1,400 yards if I open holes for him and give him the ball enough for $800,000. It's not that complicated, guys. And I understand how awesome Bijan Robinson is. If they draft him, I'll get excited. I'll get excited for his big plays. He'll be my guy. I'll get a t-shirt jersey of Bijan Robinson. I'll be cheering for him. But right now, it's team-building season. We got Giselle talking.
Oh, Giselle.
Article by Michelle Ruiz. Bunchton says the suggestion was very hurtful that she gave Tom an ultimatum. The craziest thing I've ever heard, she said. People really made it about that. What's been said is one piece of a much bigger puzzle. It's not so black and white, says Giselle. It never is. Love's complicated. So is divorce. She explains the bigger puzzle, however, it's not hard to connect Tom's ongoing commitment to football beyond his 45th birthday as one of the reasons for the fundamental change in the relationship. Sometimes you grow together, sometimes you grow apart, says Giselle. When I was 26 and he was 29, we met, we wanted a family, we wanted things together. As time goes by, we realize that we just wanted different things, and now we have a choice to make. That doesn't mean you don't love the person. It just means that in order for you to be authentic and truly live the life you want to live, you have to have somebody who can meet you in the middle, right? It's a dance, and it is a balance.
It's a stretch.
Yeah.
Jiu-jitsu stretch, probably.
It is a jiu-jitsu stretch. Yeah, you got to get into the right posture to pull something off like this. I mean, come on, lady. You got to be kidding me. No, it's never going to be perfect. It's going to be work. It's going to be stressful. Every time, every relationship, there's no such thing as this, Giselle. You're not going to find a guy that's going to balance you and allow you to be happy in life. You have to make yourself happy in life. Even at 45 years old, she doesn't understand this. She says, when you love someone, you don't put them in a jail and say, you have to live this life. You set them free to be who they are. And if you want to fly in the same direction, then that's amazing. Man, this lady's been on some serious ayahuasca vacations, if you ask me. She said she watched Brady's not-so-amazing playoff loss to the Cowboys, and she remained very defensive of his performance. So she still does kind of have his back. It was tough. But you know what? Let's just be honest.
Can you imagine sitting there on the couch eating Doritos and your girl is watching her ex-husband on TV?
That would be
just paying attention
different.
To her ex-husband, yeah. Period. That's like somebody going to their ex-husband's Facebook page all the time, and you see it.
I don't want anything to do with that whole situation.
Oh, he's got a new dog. Ugh, he never likes dogs.
Yeah. I don't think that'd be a long-term dating situation. No. You know what? Let's just be honest. It's a team sport. You can't play alone. I think he did a great job under the circumstances. But, I mean, he had no offensive line. She's blaming the O-line. I don't think that was the biggest problem. Tom might have been the biggest problem with that offense.
He was struggling.
It is. It's hard for a quarterback to play without an offensive line, but I thought it got pretty healthy just in time to take on the Cowboys. He just didn't have it anymore. Couldn't score any points, and it happened all year long. All righty. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Now, when we come back, we got 2 hours down, three to go for you here on your home of the Cowboys. ESPN NBA reporter Kendra Andrews has Mavs Warriors on ESPN tonight, and she'll share her insights on these teams with us coming up next here in the Nation.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.